keep my lovely bride in the prayer. She's not feeling very good today. You will notice that you were handed a bulletin when you came in. And for those of us who have the internet, we have a newsletter that you can pull up and get this information. For those that do not have internet and are not computer savvy, then you can look in here and it will give you all the information from upcoming events. There's going to be a market day on April 13th. And one of the great things that God has really blessed us is that on Wednesday night, we have started a Bible study that is called Digging Deeper. First night we met, we had 31, and that was great. And we had a business meeting, we had 44, and I know a couple people came for the business meeting. And then we had Wednesday night, we had 43 people, and I've had a lot of compliments on the way that Bible study is operating. I know Leo brought a friend, and he said, I've never seen that kind of Bible study in church before. So, you know, I'm really going to ask that y'all keep coming. I know on Monday nights we have praise team practice, but I'm going to ask the praise team, make sure that you guys come and be a part also, if you would, on Wednesday night. Because we're talking about salvation, and it's so important that all of us understand what salvation is. You know, the same thing with this bulletin. Y'all need the information. You know, we want to get it to you. Some, again, are computer. Some don't. So you'll have that information. You can hang it on your calendar so that you can come and be a part of Wednesday night. It's a time where you are able to ask questions. A lot of questions I don't answer right then and there, especially if it's a Bible passage, and then we'll discuss it the following Wednesday. So come and be a part, and I really think, Mike, there's a deal right there. I found it the other day. I was just letting you know, I just hit that the other day. So anyhow, we're so glad that you guys are here today, and we're going to talk about something today. I pray that y'all can see such a bigger picture. You know, one of the little flyers in your bulletin today was, we need volunteers. A lot of y'all are volunteering, and we can't do it without you. Some people that are in church are not volunteering. But for us to take this program to the new facility, we need people, and you'll see today more than ever what we're going to talk about. Always remember, if what you're doing for God doesn't scare you, then what you are doing requires little faith. You know, when we sit down and talk about it, the message today is about taking risk. And, you know, if it doesn't scare you, then you don't need God. You know, I always told my kids, aim for the moon. Just reach as high as you can go. And I promise you that with God in your side, you can reach that location. You can't do it by yourself, but you can do it with God. Now, we're going to read the passage today about the boss who gave three men some money. So it begins in Matthew 25, and it's verse 16. It says, immediately, the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. He did something with the monies that the boss had given him. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents, he gained two more talents. And it says, but he who received the one talent went away, dug a hole, put it in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, the definition of risk is the possibility that something unpleasant or something unwelcomed will happen. It's a situation involving exposure to danger. So if we look at that, we sit back and go, oh, time out. You know, I don't want to be a part of that risk because, candidly, I don't want anything unpleasant. I don't want anything unwelcome. And goodness gracious, I don't want to expose myself to danger. But I got to tell you, the Bible says if you want to be a Christian, deny yourself. That means that God becomes number one, you become number two, and then it says pick up your cross daily. And I got to tell you, sometimes picking up that cross is not an easy thing to do, you know, truly in our life. Don't know if you've ever heard of this illustration, but there was a man who went from one side of a great chasm to the other. And he put a rope across this chasm. And he had a wheelbarrow. And he was asking everybody, he said, do you guys think I can get to the other side? Yeah, yeah. So everybody went like this. So he, you know, took the wheelbarrow, went back this way, went to the other side. Everybody collided. I mean, just they were just so excited. He went back the other time. And he says, think I can do it again? Yeah, yeah. So he goes back and he goes over here and he gets to the other side. And then he says, so y'all think that I could do it again? Sure. And then he's like, Leon, you ready to go with me? And everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute. But it all boils down to trust. And, you know, if you take a risk, and we do in the Christian life, there is always the possibility that something unpleasant or unwelcomed will happen. I've shared the story with you guys after I met the Lord. I'm on fire for the Lord. Every time we went out to eat with our pastor, he would share Christ at the table. People would just melt and they would end up praying to receive Christ. First time I did it, the lady almost wanted to throw a glass of water on me, man. I was like, ooh, take a chill pill, check. I just ask, you know. And then I remember doing it over at Albertson's at the grocery store. And the guy cursed me right in the middle of the fruit and vegetable section, man. You know, Pam was with me, and when he cursed, she left. So here I am standing by the grapes by myself, you know. But there's always a risk involved when you and I do something for the Lord. And sometimes it's unpleasant, sometimes it's unwelcomed, and candidly, sometimes, you know, when we took the mission trip a couple years ago, I didn't, but Arnold took a group to Mindanao, you know, there was a risk because it's a dangerous, dangerous place to go. There's two thoughts from the scripture. Number one is that the boss gave money to the two servants, and the one servant made money. One of the commentaries that I read said in today's time he made $2 million off his investment. The other one made $1 million, and, you know, it was okay with them investing the money, but here's the problem with investing money. There's always the possibility that you could have lost every dime of that investment. Ask people who play the stock market today. They've put money in, and candidly, they've lost everything that they had. So you go, well, wow, was that the smartest thing that they could have done, taking the money from the boss, and the guy reinvested it? You know, God bless that, and he made money. Second guy, same kind of thing. But the third guy, how many people in the room would have been the third guy who goes, it's his money, I just want to protect his money, okay? So the second thought, which is difficult to understand, is this, is that the boss called him wicked. I mean, he looked at that guy and said, well, how much did you make? Well, I made this. How much did you? Great. How much did you make? I buried the money. And he said, you wicked man, you. Well, you know, I'd have to be sitting back going, I'd probably be called a wicked guy because I was just trying to protect his money while it was gone. But you see, we have the mindset today that wickedness is based on something that we do. But in God's eyes, wickedness is also something that we should have done and we don't do. And you and I'm going to have to distinguish what that means. Failure to risk our lives at the fullest potential for the kingdom of God is as wicked as the most egregious violation of the laws of God. Now, do you look at your life when God asks you to do something to go, if I don't do it, I'm a wicked person? Most of us, I don't think, do. I shared with you guys years ago, you know, the first time I go to the hospitals now because, I mean, I know that God protects me when I go, but, you know, I don't like going. You know, I just didn't. And this lady was extremely sick. She'd had a surgery. She kept having fever. And they found out that there was a towel that they left in her from the surgery. So I'll never forget, we go, and he says, you want to go see? I went, yeah. So it was me and the other pastor. Well, you're in the hall. You have to go into a room, and you have to put a gown on, and you put gloves on, and you put a mask on. Then you went to the second room. You put another gown on. You put another mask on, and then you double gloved. And then when you went to the third room, here was his instructions. If you touch her and get what she's got, you will die. Now, a guy that don't want to go to the hospital, I'm all over this move, man, let me tell you. Yeah, let's go! You know? But we went in, and I'll never forget, I put my hand on her leg, and it felt like it was on a heating pad. That was how hot this woman was. We went, and we prayed. And I'll never forget coming home. Rod was his name. He was associate pastor. I said, that doesn't bother you? And he said, here's how I think about it. When God sends, he protects. And that kind of changed my whole mindset about going to the hospitals. Every great risk involving God begins with confidence in the goodness and the trustworthiness of our God. See, you can't, amen, give God a hand clap of praise. See, we got to filter all this excitement on both sides, okay? We got to get it going. But you think about every great risk involving God, God goes, if I could do it, I'd do it. But I'm in heaven, you're down here, you're my vessel, and now I want you to go and get it done. So it's important for us to be willing to take the risks that we need. Here's point number one. Sometimes we are exposed to risk to show us that nothing is impossible without God. Amen. Amen. If you look at Exodus 6, it says, now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt. So the Lord spoke to Moses and he says, I am the Lord. Now you would think that would settle it for Moses, okay? He has seen the power of God. He knows the Lord. And then he says, speak to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, all that I speak to you. You know, Pharaoh's been holding everybody hostage now for 400 and something years, and you're telling me, say what? Did I get that right, Lord? You want me to go speak to Pharaoh? Now look what he says. But Moses said before the Lord, what do we do when we don't want to do something? We make excuses. Here's his excuse. Behold, Lord, I'm unskilled. I don't know how to speak. And if I don't know how to speak, how then will Pharaoh listen to me? It's a great question. You know, because it is said that Pharaoh stuttered. I don't stutter, but if I'm going to go up and talk to a man who's about to kill me, I'm going to be a stuttering fool, man. Lord. He was scared. But he went. Not one time and not two times, but he went through all the plagues and he went. And then he asked the question. He said, if someone asks who you are, what are you supposed to say? And he said, just tell them, I am sent me. So you and I have got to get to the place when God sends you, and he will. And you guys need to get your working boots on today. Because in the days to come, that church is going to hold 300 people. And I promise you the day that we open up, and the only reason I'm not going to invite the fire marshal is because we're going to surpass the number of people that are going to go in that building. Amen. Because there are some that are going to come and they want to see what the excitement's all about. And church, I got to tell you, if they walk in and we're a tomb, they're going to go, I don't want to be a part of this. So the excitement starts today. Yes, you woke up this morning. Amen. You're breathing this morning. Yes. You drove here this morning. Yes. You're going to take me out to eat. No. but there's so many blessings that God has given us. So the first thing that I want you to understand is that sometimes God will put you in a risk-taking situation so that you will know that with God, everything is possible in your life. Amen. Amen. Here's point number two. Sometimes we are forced to take risk so that God can show us how to get past the obstacles in our life. See, a lot of times when we face obstacles, there's people that just want to crumble. And I got to tell you, I'm one of them. Every now and when the plate gets full, it's just like, I don't know, and I feel really bad about it, but it's like it's just hard to push through. So in Exodus 14, but Moses, you know, poor Moses, I mean, that guy went through heck in a handbasket. But it says, but Moses said to the people, I said to the church when we started building the building, don't be afraid. Because God's going to pay for the building. Amen. He's going to bless you guys in such a way that we can pay for the building. So the thing is, it says, don't be afraid. Stand by, he says, and see that the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today, for the Egyptians who you've seen, the enemy that you have seen today, you will never see them again. And then he says, forever. Amen. And then he says, the Lord will fight for you. But here's something, church, that you got to understand. While you're silent, what do we normally do when we get nervous or scared or we're facing obstacles? Man, our mind goes wild and our mouth goes twice as wild. We speak death into everything that we're doing. It's not going to work. This isn't doing it. That's not happening. I'll never, you know, and it keeps on and on and on. So he says, I'm going to fight for you. But in today's terms, it's almost as if he said, but shut up. I want you to be quiet. And it says, the Lord will fight. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to take a step and to go forward. How many of you are facing obstacles in your life today? Candidly, we all are. You know, last night Pam was in so much pain in her stomach. And, you know, I was sitting in there and I prayed for her and I, you know, turned off the TV and got out the Bible. And I began to read Psalms 27. I read Isaiah 53. I read Psalms 91, and I prayed. And you know, it's kind of funny. My little puppy dog will crawl up on my lap, and then we just read the Bible together almost. And then we went in, and I told Pam, I said, you know, I just prayed for you. And, you know, one of the great things, she said, I heard you. And that's the thing that we need to do candidly with our family. Mm-hmm. You know, Daddy, there's not a greater thing that you can do for your family than pray for your family. There's not a greater sight that your children can see than you kneeling next to your bed at night praying or, you know, reading your Bible. But see, we all face obstacles, and sometimes God will put us in a risk factor to go, you can stay here if you want to. Now, the enemy's coming behind you. But he says, Moses, just tell your people to go. And, you know, it required a step of faith. And faith is being sure what you hope for. It's the evidence of things that you have not seen. You know, I have seen that building for 20 years. And that building is coming up. And tentatively, I don't know, but tentatively, our opening day is going to be March 3rd. Amen. Amen. And we're going to get into that building, but we'll keep you up to date about that. But God wants us sometimes to be forced to put all of our faith and trust in Him so that we know, one with God, it's all possible. But if my daddy's with me, either I can walk through the water, I'll float across that water, or I'll walk on top of that water. But I'm going to get to the other side of where He wants us to be. Now, sometimes we're forced to take risks when God is asking us to do something that makes no sense at all. Because it's not what He says that's important. The true fact is, are we obedient to what He says? And I got to tell you, God has asked us to do a lot of stuff. God's asked Pam and I to do a lot of stuff. And I mean, I remember the day that I went to Pam and said, God's called me into the ministry. She went, no, He hadn't. And I said, no, honey, He really has. You know, He hadn't. And we went home, you know, and I didn't know. And then, you know, two years later, when the pastor asked me to come to work for his church, Pam sat in that first initial meeting, and our pastor was kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy. And, you know, we sat around the table, and he asked Pam first. He said, Pam, what do you think? Now, automatically, I'm going, this is the shortest term in ministry any man has ever had in his life, okay? But then my bride says, I didn't think that we were that Keith was, but now I know that we are. And she knew that God now had called us to come into the ministry. So Joshua 6 and 16 says, at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city.
Amen.
And you know, it's the walls of Jericho. God had promised them to go, that's yours. Well, you know, sometimes people think, well, if that's yours, just give it to me, Lord. And our God goes, no. If you want it, you're going to work for it. You know? And the thing is, you can armchair quarterback this story to go, okay, you asked me to walk around the walls one time. I'm okay with that. Two times, all right. Three times, a little redundant. Fourth time, fifth time. Lord have mercy, you know. Sixth time. I mean, a lot of people would have lost heart when I'm going to go to another church. I ain't putting up with that nonsense. But then he said on the last time, he said, I want you to march seven times. I don't know what they thought. But there was a group that was obedient. And he says, and when I tell you to shout, your obstacle's going to fall down.
Amen.
And the walls fell down. Scripture says they crossed in, they plundered the city, and got everything that God wanted them to have.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
God's going to ask you to do some crazy things. It won't make any sense to you whatsoever. But again, it's not what he says. The key to taking risk, are you willing to do what he's asked you to do? Are you obedient to what God has asked you to do? Because you see, we look at that to go, there's nothing I could do to get those walls down. Now, depending upon what book you read, those walls were 14 foot wide. I mean, that's not a little narrow wall. This was a big wall. And just think about the power of God. You know, it would have been difficult for any man to knock it down. But with the power of God, and Kent and I prayed this morning for Pam, and I said, you know, and I prayed last night. I said, Father, may you put your righteous right hand over my bride right now and bring blessings onto her, but bring wrath upon the adversary that's seeking to harm her. Amen. And the walls came down. Amen. Amen. So the people shouted. They were obedient. The priest blew the trumpet. You know, when we come and we do praise and worship, this is not just an exposition. I mean, this is participatory. This means that you have to be a part. You don't have to. But boy, when we lift up the voices of our Lord, we can usher in the Spirit. And it says, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout. They had faith and trust in the Lord. The wall fell down flat. People went into the city, and every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Now, here's another point. Sometimes we will be required by God to take a risk so that God can accomplish his purpose in us and through us. Yes. This is difficult, and this is hard. But Ananias answered. This is like the road to Damascus, okay? Paul, who was Saul at the time, persecuted the Christians. He had killed them, okay? I mean, he's a bad guy. So now the Lord knocks him to his knees, which God has an occasion to anybody that really wants to fight him. He's going to knock you to your knees, okay? But Ananias is now asked by the Lord, I want you to go do something for me. I want you to go talk to Saul. So Ananias answered, Lord, you talk about stuttering. I bet this boy was stuttering now. But Lord, I've heard from many a man how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. He's thinking everything about him. He's thinking about what he can do, the power that he has. God is not in any of those statements at all. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. Now, he goes, and he talks to Saul, who is now Paul. Paul regains his sight. And can you imagine all the good that Paul did throughout the years as a disciple of the Lord for the 3 years that he was alive? How many people heard the gospel? I got to tell you, church, God's going to ask you to do the same thing. He's going to ask you to go to some of the strangest places of all. I've shared this story again, too, the day that we had the missionary come to First Baptist Church and said, yeah, somebody in this room, Chris, is going to go to Africa. My wife got dead silent. She ain't said a word. We drove home. She's still looking out the window. And I finally said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I just got to tell you. She said, I thought you were going to grab my hand. We all going to run up there, and we're going to Africa, you know. But I said, the Lord didn't tell me that, so we didn't do it. But I got to tell you that the Lord is going to get you to do things that are going to be scary. But if you're not scared and doing it, then the Lord's not involved in it, because the Lord will give you the power and the strength to accomplish the impossible. Amen. Sometimes a risk will be required so that God can give us the desires of our heart. How bad do you want it? Think about that. I mean, how bad do you want things in your life? You know, this is the passage of the woman who was bleeding for 11 years. There's no doubt she went to every doctor. She spent every dime she had. And her last hope in her eyes was Jesus. Now, we need to turn that around to go the first hope in our life, is Jesus. But it says, and Jesus said, who is the one who just touched me? And while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that the power had gone before me.
Amen.
When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice. Now, in those days, if a woman had any type of menstrual cycle at all, she was classified as unclean. She had to stay away. And now all of a sudden, in the midst of this, here's a woman who is hemorrhaging for 11 years. She finally gets to the place to go, I'm at my wit's end. And see, you couldn't touch anybody. You couldn't be around the men. You couldn't do anything. So she came trembling. That's a sign of humility. And she fell down before him, and she declared in the presence of all the people the reasons why she had touched him. You know, there's a passage in Scripture where he says, you command me. There's a passage in Scripture, and I'm paraphrasing it, where the Lord says, come over here and sit down and just make your case. And you know, when I prayed, I told Kent this morning, every time, and some of y'all would go, well, you don't need to do it, but I need to do it. First of all, I thank the Lord for the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, I sit down and go, Lord, I'm coming to you today on the merits of your Son. I got nothing to offer you whatsoever, but I'm going to ask my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I begin to lift my prayers. But it says that she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go. He just didn't say go. He said, you go now in peace. That's a peace that would surpass all human understanding. It doesn't make sense. But church, I got to tell you, sometimes you're going to have to fight the crowd. Sometimes you're going to have to do things afraid. But what God says, I don't care about that. Concentrate on what's important. And sometimes you're going to want it so bad that you're going to have to just do what you know God wants you to do, and you just keep on going straight in the midst of this. Sometimes we're forced to take a risk to show us that success is dependent upon the power of God.
Amen.
See, if you and I do things in our life, we don't have the power. I didn't have the power to heal Pam last night, but my God did, you know, and she felt good this morning, and then something else happened. But, you know, it said in Matthew 14, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, the place is desolate. The hour is already late, so send the crowds away that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. I mean, that'd be like us sitting over here. We got 10,000 people. You know, I said, hey, you know, Larry, go feed them. Everybody starts putting in their pocket. We come up with $200.10. So that ain't going to work. But it says, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. Give him something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, right then, you gotta be honest. You're going to go, this is not enough. It's not enough. It's 5,000 people. And that didn't include the wives and their kids. And in the natural, we would go, it's not going to happen. And he said to them, bring that fish and bread to me.
Amen. Amen.
So here's the thing that I want you to see. See, in the natural, we can't. But in the presence of God, we can. And when you look at your own strength, you see what you could do. But if you look in God's strength, then you're going to begin to see what he can do. Now, there's 2 great things about this story. One, they saw the power of God. And sometimes God wants us to be put us in that situation so that we literally can see the power of God working in our lives or in your life so that there's eyewitnesses too. They all got a basket of food to take home with them. There was that much food left over. But sometimes God just wants you to see, Lord, I can't do this without you. But God, I know that with you I can. And then we put our trust and our faith truly in him. Sometimes we're forced to take a risk to test our faith. That's tough. God will never tempt you. But I promise you that God will test you. Every person in this room has been tested one time or the other. Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you. Now put yourself out there in the boat with Peter and the disciples. Jesus is walking on the water, okay? And all of a sudden they look at Jesus and they went, oh my gosh, that's a ghost. They're scared. And I promise you that if the Holy Spirit fell in this room today, some of you guys would be scared. Not some of us, all of us. Oh, Lord, what's up, you know? But he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the water. He came toward Jesus. Two things to hear in this story. As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can do thing that no natural man could ever do in his life. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and he began to sink, and he cried out, which shows the grace of our Lord. Lord, save me! Peter had the guts to get out of the boat and start walking on the water, but when life begins to rain on you, all of a sudden you lose sight of the Lord and you look at the water, and that's when you begin to sink. And he cried out, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and he said, ye a little faith, why'd you doubt? And see, I believe that he was trying to test Peter, because he knew that Peter was going to get sifted by Satan. He denied the Lord three times. But who did Jesus go after that? He said, go get Peter and bring him to me. Because there's always grace in this picture. Thank you, Jesus. But I got to tell you that there are sometimes God goes, I want you to see. Are you willing to get out of the boat? And some of you have talent that you're not using in this room. Some of you have talent that no one even knows about except the Lord. And I'm telling you that God is going to put you in a place so that you will begin to use your talent. He didn't keep you here. He didn't save you so that you would sit your backside on these chairs. God got you up. God got you out. God saved you to use you just like Saul. He is an instrument of mine.
Yes.
Now, sometimes we'll be asked to take risks to show us firsthand that not only can we do what Jesus did, but even greater things. John 14, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, when we go and we're asked to go to the hospital and we're asked to lay our hands on someone, the Bible says these are the signs that accompany them that believe. You can lay your hands on them, and the Bible says, and they shall recover. Are we going over there to show our power? Are we going over there to demonstrate the power of God? Because if you leave God in the car and you come over and put your hands on somebody, that's all you're doing. But if you take God with you, then that person could be resurrected from the dead through the power of God. And here's the last one, and I think it's important for all of us. Sometimes we are forced to take a risk just so Jesus can get us to the other side. You know, Christianity is almost like a Jeep stuck in the mud. Sometimes our wheels just spin, you know. Sometimes we're stuck, and when we get stuck, we just go, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do. Jesus himself, this is when the disciples were in the boat. He told them, and they didn't listen to him. He tells us, and we don't listen to him. Get in the boat and go to the other side. When Jesus tells you to get in the boat and go to the other side, he didn't say that it was going to be a cruise ship kind of ride. He didn't say how it was going to be. He said, get in the boat and trust me and get to the other side. So the disciples get in the boat. Now Jesus is asleep. He's on a cushion. And they woke him. The wind, the rain, the waves. The boat is going crazy. And again, he's like, okay. So that they run into him, ask the dumbest question in the world. Don't you care? He died for us. So we know that he cares. But this is what was so cool, and you'll never find this in another scripture. He got up, and he took a stand for his disciples. He rebuked the wind. The word rebuke in the Greek means he commanded it. He didn't ask it. He commanded it, and he said to the sea, hush, and be still. The wind calmed down, and it became perfectly calm. And you and I have to understand when life goes to hell in a handbasket, and it will, then you and I have to understand Jesus is not asleep. He will always take a stand for us. He will rebuke whatever we're dealing with. He will give us the peace that passes all understanding. And when it's all said and done, you're going to find yourself standing on the other side of the obstacle of our Lord. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen.